Blog Talk Radio. Today is party, and we are in a party mood here today at How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. So grab a pad and pencil because you'll want to take notes, because the event producer of the lifetime of parties is in the house today, coming up next. Hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, November 4th, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. And I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us today. It's going to be a wonderful show, and we would love to hear from you. So you can call in to listen live or ask questions at 347-857-2710. Those 10 digits, again, are 347-857-2710. 2710, or you can also email me at goodvibeexperience@gmail.com. And I just have one little brief announcement before we get our party shoes on today. I'm going to be participating in the Los Angeles Memory Walk this Sunday, November 7th, in Century Park in Century City. So of all those, all you shoesy listeners out there who are in the Los Angeles area, would love to have you come out and join us for the walk. It's the 10th anniversary of my mother's passing from Alzheimer's, so I'm going to have my shoesies out there and walk, and I hope you'll come and join us. Well, speaking of shoes, I just slipped on my party shoes. I'm all dialed up, and I'm ready to go, because my guest today, he's a god. What more can I say? He's a true pioneer in event productions, parties, as we know it today, and is recognized as one of the industry's leading event producers. His client list reads like the who's who of Hollywood, from Steven Spielberg to Barbara Streisand. And he's also appeared on Good Morning America, ABC Evening News, and has been featured in Harper's Bazaar and Good Housekeeping. And what's really exciting is that he's getting ready to launch his own webcast cooking lifestyle show on Global Truth Network on January 11th, 2011. And we're very lucky to have him in the house today. So please put on an apron and give a big warm welcome to Randy Furman. Hi, Randy.
Well, thank you. I've been smiling ever since the countdown. It's hysterical. I can't stop smiling. I've never been counted down to come on. You know, that it's 1, 2, ready, go. And it's like, okay, I'm ready to run, but there's no place to run. I'm sitting here.
So it's that's
like
right.
I was all ready to leave the gate.
In front of you.
Very fun.
Yeah. Well, hey, we try to make it fun here. That's what it's all about, fun, entertaining, and informative.
Well, I appreciate you asking me to be a guest.
My pleasure. You know, it's about time we put our party faces on. I'm really serious. And, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up, Christmas, New Year's, and we have to get, I think, the nation in more of a celebratory mood. And unfortunately, things are challenging for all of us, but that doesn't mean that we can't have some fun along the way.
Well, I think we need to – oh, sorry.
No,
I won't
ahead.
Step on you. Go ahead.
No. But that's one of the reasons why you're here, because you're going to tell us about parties, events, and let me just say that we're going to give some recipes out, and so people can get those recipes by emailing you. What would be the best way for our listeners to contact you?
Randy at Randy Furman Events, and it's Furman events.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be happy to send them. We'll talk about a lot of things today, and I'll be happy to send them the helpful hints and all the recipes, which will help them all the way through Thanksgiving, Christmas, and actually New Year's. I've got some ideas, and it's really a stressful time, a lot, because there's so much going on, and because of the economy and everything else that's happening, You kind of have to readjust everything, and that's, you know, you have to look at your market and also wanting to make it a little bit more organized for yourself, so it's a little bit simpler on your you and your family.
That's very true. So I want to know, how did you get started in this in the party business?
Well, if anybody ever saw the movie Risky Business, that was kind of, I didn't have hookers. I had my friend's family over, but and my family. My parents went to Hawaii, and I sent out 500 invitations asking everybody to come to the house for a holiday party, and cooked at my mom's best friend's house for about a month. And in that process, when my parents, I mean, I had the big party, everybody came, my neighbors came, except I didn't invite one neighbor because I didn't like her. And as soon as my mom drove up, she was like in the driveway waiting to talk to my mother. She goes, "Do you know your son had 500 people in the house?" And my mother just looked at my father and said, "Abe, I don't care what it is, he's out of the house." And and that was it. And you know, the glass egg that broke in Risky Business, I broke a glass table and replaced it with thicker glass. My mother noticed that as soon as she walked in. But the house was totally intact. I mean, I had a cleaning crew come in and everything. I mean, but my mom didn't talk to her best friend for over 20 years until I finally created a dinner party where I had both of them at the same table. My mom finally, I said, "Get over it. You know, it's like, it's 20 years already. You can let go of that."
Wow, that is hysterical. That is hysterical. Now, was your mother a good cook? Did she entertain?
My mom was the youngest of like 8 kids, so she really was the baby, and she had to take care of everybody. I mean, like her oldest brother was like being a father. So my mom kind of ended up being, my father was the youngest of 4 children, and my mom was the youngest of 8. So it was a lot going on, and my mom always was the hub of everything. My mom was the best cook. My mom was the best person that would sew. She was a concert pianist. I mean, whatever she did, she had to do it incredibly well, or she didn't do it at all. My mom was very, very funny. I mean, I learned, I got some of her greatest habits and some of her bad habits. But one of the downside habits have been one of the best things for me, because my radar is up. As soon as I walk into an event, I can scan the whole area and see what's not happening, and I go immediately to that and fix it. So I feel that's a big blessing, that is something that I've learned from her.
Well, what do you think? What is that one thing? I'm sure there are a few things, but what would be one thing that wouldn't work at an event that you can change?
Well, first of all, not having the bar is the most important thing in an event, and not having the bar placed in the right area can really damage your event, because what you want to make sure is you pull people all the way into your party. So I put the bar probably one of the farthest places away, so they have to walk into the house, unless there's a bar in the house already. Hopefully it's located in a good area. But if it's too small for the actual amount of people you're having, then I say move it. You know, get a folding table, whatever you need to do, or rent a bar, and put the bar where it needs to be put. And a bartender, if you're bartending, you know, you have to be in a good mood. And if you have a bartender, the bartender is probably the most important person that you hire, because they're the first person that gets greeted, that, you know, your guests get greeted by him or her as the first person. And if they're cantankerous or not in a good mood or not, "Hi, how are you tonight? You know, happy holidays. You know, what can I get you?" If they don't have that type of energy, it really puts a downer on, you know, beginning your party. And not having enough space to get into the bar, having to wait 20, 30 minutes for a drink doesn't help if you're having 80 or 100 people, you know, if you're having a large event for the holidays.
That's true. I think, you know, that could also be a price point for people, too. They want to have a party, but they only have a certain budget, so you're available to show them how they can do a very nice party for in their budget and still get the same kind of effect.
Sure. I mean, you know, when you're in a budget, I don't know if everybody has a 99-cent store, but, you know, the 99-cent store is your best friend. Dana Devon, which was from Extra. Dana, I took her to – she'd never been to a 99-cent store. And we were doing an event, and I said, "Let me take you there so you can learn about this and see," because you have to kind of scour the whole area to look for great stuff. And I took her there. Now she's a 99-cent junkie. You know, she goes there all the time because there's amazing things there you can find that no one has to know where you got them from, but they give you the effect you need without having to spend a lot of money.
But what I think one of the gifts that you have is that you have an eye for how to take an inexpensive item, put it with something else, make it look rich and fabulous.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that is one of my.
And a lot of people don't. They wouldn't say, "Oh, really? You would use that for a party? I wouldn't have thought about that."
Well, you know, what I've learned over the years is you don't say anything no one knows. You don't have to say where you got it from. It looks good because it's been put in. It's just a natural thing for me. I look around, like a lot of times when a client doesn't have a budget to do a lot of decor, I'll look around and see what the client has in the house and put that and work that into the buffet or work it into the scenario of what I'm doing or the vignette. Because, you know, we're not in the 80s anymore where where it was unlimited amount of money for doing things. And you have to be more creative with less money than you do when you have a budget. So those are the things, you know, I really guide my clients when they call me and talk to me about what they want to do. If I really feel the money's not being spent appropriately, I'll say, you know what, we don't really need to do that because they're only going to walk by for 10 seconds and then they're not going to see it again. And to put the money into that, why don't we do it and give you shrimp or, you know, give you something that the people are going to notice where it actually is more visible in the sense that people see it all night.
Yeah, well, you know, shrimp is always something people notice because it's the first thing that goes.
That's right. That's why you pass it.
you don't make it a buffet out of it,
you pass it.
What is the difference between having servers, a passed tray, versus a station with food as far as the psychology behind what people eat?
Well, the more people that are at an event, the less food that gets eaten. I don't know why that is. It's just, it always is that way. I don't know whether there's more conversation going on, but smaller parties, people eat more. Larger events, people eat less. And past hors d'oeuvres, people normally set their limits on, I'm only going to eat 6 items. And so you kind of figure when you're passing, when you're on a budget, passing is somewhat better because you don't have to put a lot of food out and you don't have to replenish. But you have to make sure there's enough people passing hors d'oeuvres. And what I call shark frenzy, where people, when they figure out where the food's coming from, they stand right there, the certain guests. And what I have to do is I always try to make sure there's one or two different entryways to come in so people don't know where the food's actually going to come from.
Is that a technical term, shark?
Well, that's my term. Well, you know, when a shark smells blood, they're right there. So it's when a person smells food, they're right at the kitchen door. So that's why I always make sure that I have a couple different entryways to come in to make sure that I can feed everybody, because that's one of the biggest problems is that people that finally see where the food's coming from, they stand right there and you can't get more than 10 people in because then your tray's empty. Doing a buffet, for me, has to be well balanced. It's not just putting one thing on there. It has to be at least, depending if it's a dinner thing or whether it's a cocktail thing. Also, if you're standing or you're sitting, if it's standing, it has to be all easy pickup food that you don't need a fork with. And pretty much one bite and not a lot of sauces because if you're in someone's home and they have carpeting, you don't want to have somebody dripping all the sauces all over the floor. But also, if you're having a lot of different choices, maybe doing small plates so people can walk away from the buffet, because if you don't put anything on the buffet for them to put food on, they will sit there or stand there and stay at the buffet until they feel they've had enough food because there's nothing to put the food on to walk away from the buffet. So those are all little things to think about when, you know, people put the food out and they don't think about having anything there. So people stay in that area and they graze around the buffet for 10 or 15 minutes.
Well, there really is, from what I'm hearing you tell me, is this a certain psychology to event production and parties and how to get the most out of an event that you're doing. So now the first holiday is Thanksgiving. So what kinds of hints and ideas can you share with us?
First, I create a timeline, you know, what your day is going to look like, what time are guests coming, and then back it out. If you're going to cook your turkey the same day, then how long do you need the turkey to be in the oven for, making sure you take it out so it can rest before you slice it, and do you have enough room in your oven for all the other side dishes? I always cook my turkey the day before, and then I undercook it by about, I'd say, 15, 20 minutes. I slice it. I then refrigerate it, but I put a towel over it, and I sprinkle a little bit of sherry and a little bit of the juices from the turkey after I've baked it or roasted it. And then I rewarm it for 10 or 15 minutes, and my turkey's always moist, always, never a dry turkey.
I like
and
the sherry. You're my kind of guy. I like the sherry part.
Just a little bit. Not, you know, it's not overpowering, and it also comes out because you're steaming it, so the alcohol comes out of it. When you're doing your recipes for everything, the best thing what I do is, if you have the space just on your counter, every recipe, pull all your dry goods ahead of time and measure everything out. Like, you can do that a week ahead of time if it's dry goods, to make sure you have everything you need, so when you go shopping, you're not going back to the grocery store two or three times because, oh, I can remember that. I know I, you know, and then all of a sudden you don't, and then you have to go out and get it. Then I say get all your fresh things anywhere from 3 to 4 days ahead of time so that you can be ready to go and you have everything you need so you're not running around going crazy. My things are, you know, get your recipes together, have everything organized, make it easy on yourself. You can also set the table ahead of time, and you can get the kids to help you. If it's a family event, have the kids, assign the kids to set the table and be aware of what's going on, having some fun with that. If you're serving soup, you can serve it, if it's a sit-down dinner, serve it in small pumpkins, if you're doing like maybe a squash pumpkin soup or something. So it's a nice way to do a different serving. And you can actually bake the pumpkins if you want to make them a little bit soft and edible if you want, because pumpkins taste great. The thing for me is for Thanksgiving is such an important, it's my biggest holiday for me. It's the most important because it's the one where you normally everybody in the family is together during the holidays. When it gets towards Christmas and New Year's, everybody kind of takes off and does their own thing. But Thanksgiving normally is that one holiday you give thanks for. And I always open up my house, and when I used to live in a loft downtown, I'd have 80 or 90 people for Thanksgiving, and I would do all the cooking because I'm really kind of spoiled. I like my death by cholesterol.
You like
mashed
your food.
Yeah, I like my death by cholesterol mashed potatoes, which I'll give you the recipe for, and my stuffing and my no-flour gravy, and then I do sweet potatoes with macadamia nuts and apricots. And then I also do, if people don't want it to be sweet, I do just roasted sweet potatoes that I whip and I put sushi ginger in. I chop it up fine and just whip it into that, and there's no butter or anything. You don't need anything because it's when you roast sweet potatoes in a high heat and they start to caramelize in the skin, you just peel them and then you just whip them with the chopped sushi ginger, and it's amazing, just amazing. And it's great with the turkey.
I like you're giving some little twists to some old favorites, and I think that's great. What about for dessert? What's a good Thanksgiving dessert?
Well, your traditional pumpkin pie, but I actually am going to give them a recipe that they can email me, and I'll give them a recipe for pumpkin cookies. So it's something a little different. But traditionalists really like pumpkin pie, but you can do it differently. If you have adults, you can add a little Southern comfort to it, and you can top it with some candied pecans, which is really great. So you kind of get pecans and the pumpkin together. I do my famous chocolate, my triple chocolate Kahlua cake, which is very dense, and I do a chocolate ganache on it. Doing roasted pears are great in the oven that you can do. They're sweet, and you can do something along that line that's a little different. Also, all the winter fruits, or doing dry fruit compote, is always great during the holidays. During Thanksgiving, where
I love that. I my mother used to make a dried fruit compote, which I thought was so delicious.
Well, a lot of times during the Jewish holidays, they do a dry fruit compote, and then you put macaroons on it. You crush macaroons and bake it, and that's incredible. And you can crush a few macaroons into the actual liquid that you're baking it in, so that it gets a little bit thicker and it gets a little bit of that toasted coconut flavor. But the top of it, the way I do it is I get my pan ready with my fruits and everything and put the macaroons on it as I crumble them, but let them sit overnight so they pick up all the juices. And I also put a little bit of butter in with the macaroons so that when I bake it, when the macaroons get crisp and crunchy, then I know that the casserole's done.
Sounds like it makes it easy.
Yeah. Totally.
Now,
and it's really
know,
easy. Very simple.
It always sounds very simple, but there's definitely an art to it, you know, and that's why there are people like you for us to call, because there are times when we need some guidance and help. Now, your brownies, they're for the lips, not the hips, but I tell you, I had some, and they did go to my hips, but it's okay, because I'm looking good with the brownies. They are so fabulous. How did that be one of your signature pieces?
Well, that's actually my calling card. Whenever I go meet a client, I take my brownies and I say, you might not always hire me, but you never forget me. And I started the brownies when I was actually 17 and as a box boy at Gelson's. That's how I started my career. And I created a white chocolate brownie, white chocolate raspberry brownie that I created for my clients that were so kind to me and gave me. I was making a fortune in tips as a box boy at Gelson's, and I actually got the job there being on the wrong side of the tracks. I lived in Van Nuys. I didn't come up in Encino. I didn't know Bernie and Gene Gelson, which you had to know them to get a job there. I came there about six times, and the manager finally was so frustrated with me. He said, okay, fine, come back Monday, you're hired. And got a job as a box boy. And from there, I just started experimenting. My mom made amazing apricot pineapple strudel that I made also. And I made these white chocolate raspberry brownies and this apricot pineapple strudel. And I give it out during the holidays to thank the clients for being so generous to me throughout the year. And that's how it got birth. And from there, it was history. Then I just started creating all different flavors, like the Butterfinger and the Cool Mint and the Dark Chocolate Snickers and Caramel Pecan. And so I have a spiced pecan that has, like, cayenne in it and chili in it. So I have a lot of different things. I'm just getting ready to relaunch the website again and get ready to do holiday stuff with that. But I kind of was revamping a few things and kind of now rebirthing my brownies again.
Well, let's give out that website because I know we have people listening, so people can perhaps log on and surf through the website while we're chatting. So that's
sure. If they go to www.randyfurmanevents.com, it'll take you to the brownie site also, so they can do everything through all of that.
Okay.
Or they can go to randysbrowniesandcakes.com or randysbrowniesandcakes.com.
Okay, and that's Furman,
Furman. Yeah.
Yes. Wow. And just to let our listeners know that these brownies, people can order, and they come in an adorable Chinese takeout box with a fabulous bow on the top.
And I've changed the color palette now to lime green and purple instead of sage. But during the holidays, I can either do it for Hanukkah in blue and white, or I can do it in a festive Christmas box also, which we'll have that up probably the beginning of next week for everybody.
Oh, great. That's great. Well, besides the food at a party, the drinks are also play an important role, and you are a mixologist because I read that you developed some cocktails for Playgirl magazine.
I was a mixologist for 3 years, which is funny because I really don't drink. And they gave me the alcohol of the month, and I would create either food around it or cocktails around it. And, in fact, on the website right now, there's an adult hot chocolate and then my Southern Comfort eggnog are on the website right now for people to take with them and be able to use. To me, if you're on a budget, doing a signature drink and normally a clear drink, which means using a vodka or a gin drink, it's always a great way to have fun with it and name it, after your family or whatever the holiday is or something that everybody relates to that knows you. It's a great way to save some money and have a good time in having a signature cocktail drink. And then that way you can get away with your beer and wine and your soft drinks and juices. One of the things, if you have a lot of kids and they're pushing that age where they're trying to be adults, sometimes separating the bar where all the kids' drinks are in a different area so that you know if the kids at the bar, they're in the wrong area, so you can pay attention to where your kids are, also helps when you're trying to think about how to set up bars for your holiday events.
That's a great idea. And we're obviously giving some very valuable information because we have a lovely caller, I think, that would like to participate and
ask
a question. So let's tune in to our caller. Hello, you're on the air with Lauren and Randy Furman.
Yeah, hi, Lauren. My name is Jeff, and I have to say, I've had Randy's brownies, and they are literally beyond words. So I'm amazing you can even talk about them.
Well,
they kind of take your breath away. So
that's good that you're able to speak. That you've had the brownies.
Yeah.
What's your favorite selection?
Oh boy, the raspberry. Yeah, a raspberry one. It's hard to say. I mean, they're all so unique, and obviously they're rich. So you don't need much. You know, you just need a couple of bites here and there, and you're good to go for a while. So he does an amazing job on the brownies.
Well,
and actually, I've been to one of his dinners as well, and it's amazing what he can do with a small space to make it just flow perfectly, and it looks effortless. So he's just an amazing guy.
Let me ask you, what is one of the most interesting things you notice as an invitee to one of Randy's parties? What makes it so exciting to be with Randy and his guests?
The setting. I mean, just the table was set perfectly. I think I was there for a Thanksgiving thing, and all the right colors, and just the decor was great, and he just knows how to set things up so that, I mean, it's all about the food. And it just makes it easier to converse and to, you know, be with other people, and, you know, it's just, you know, he's got it down. He knows what he's doing.
That's another satisfied customer. I love that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure. So Jeff, are you going to have a party this holiday season by Randy Furman?
Oh,
yeah,
Jeff,
are you?
For sure.
Excellent.
Hey, I have a question for you. This is kind of off topic a little bit, but I was just curious as to what you think about these reality shows on TV.
Well, you mean with the food shows or just all the shows?
Yeah, no, the food shows.
You know, I'm trying to get my own show also. I mean, I'm going to be doing a cooking show. Some of them are good. Some of them aren't. You know, some of them are staged. But I think, you know, like the cupcake shows, some of those are great. I love the Ace of Cakes. You know, I think that's a great show. Some of the other ones, you know, I'm not crazy about. But, you know, it's...
Yeah, actually, I kind of agree with you there. It's the Devil's Kitchen and the nasty stuff. I don't think it really needs to be there.
No, I agree. I'd like to see positive stuff happening.
There you go.
Well, are you a foodie, Jeff, I'm assuming?
Well, sure.
Yeah, so what would you like to see, you know, now that Randy's having his own show, what would you perhaps like to see on Randy's show?
Well, actually, this was a concept that I talked to Randy about a long time ago. He was going to work with couples getting married.
Very much so. We were.
Yeah.
I didn't. Now I know who you are.
Thought that would be a clue.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh.
Well, that's fine. Because the whole thing is this New Tooth Network is global network is actually going to be all positive programming. So it's all going to be kind of spiritual based in the sense of wanting everything to be from the actual farmers markets. How does it get there? You know, what happens at the farmer's market, and then coming to the table from there. So it's all real natural product and how we do things.
Yeah, and actually, I do lecture a little bit on nutrition for eyes. I'm an eye doctor. And I talk to people about buying their food at the farmer's markets or get some good quality food because, unfortunately, there's a lot of junk out there. So
right.
People need to buy the right stuff.
That old saying, you are what you eat, there's a lot of truth in that.
Well, we've adapted it to you see how you eat.
Yes, right. You see what you eat. Right.
There we go.
Exactly.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you, Jeff, for joining us.
Okay, thanks a lot. Good work.
Thank you.
All righty. Well, hang on if you'd like to, wonderful.
Okay, thanks.
Wow, that's fabulous. I love it.
That's great. I haven't talked to him in a long time. I mean, he's an old client.
But an eye doctor, you know, where food's important to him. It's always interesting. It's unfortunate sometimes that you throw a party or your own party or you throw a party for a client, and sometimes you never really get to be the fly on the wall and hear your guests' reasoning why a party is so successful.
Well, guess what? You don't know by hearing. My friends are amazed how well I hear them two rooms over. So
oh, really?
I'm a big horse fly. What can I tell you? I hear a lot. So no, I'm very lucky. Clients are very complimentary, and I get great notes afterwards. So it's always it's an amazing thing. And the most important person to me to satisfy is the client, because the client's going to be the person that actually gets me my next job.
That's the way I look at it.
That's
true, and I think the one, you know, having gone to many parties, it's when you feel most comfortable at someone's event,
mm-hmm.
then you have a good time. People make the effort to welcome you, and I think that's one of the key things for successful parties, making people feel good
wherever they are, whether it's your home or at another location.
Right, and right now, because there's some things to even think about. I mean, I try to stay pretty conscious about stuff, and right now during the holidays, the food banks are so short in having product in there to give to the people that really need to be fed that I also ask my clients, if I do corporate things, let's do a toy drive or let's do a can drive. I really try to tie my corporate clients into doing something for the community because it's a good thing. It's one hand washes the other. I think it's a great way to always do that. Plus, if you're getting your friends together and you're having Thanksgiving, have them bring canned food so you can take it to a food bank, or have them bring toys in so you can take it to Salvation Army so you can make a difference for other people. It's just the way I just feel that it's just part of what we need to be doing right now to try to help each other because it's such a tough time for everybody. And not that I want to buy into that, I don't, but, you know, as we see what's going on, it's just a way to help other people, it's an easy something to do. It's not like you have to organize a huge thing to make a difference for other people.
Right, but it's unfortunate sometimes that we do have to make it so easy for people to even just buy a toy and have a drop-off receptacle so they don't have to do very much. And we should always try to be mindful and help other people. That's how it all, you know, one hand helps the other, in my feeling. It really does. So when your show, do you have a name for your show? Can you
tell us?
We're not sure yet.
We're still, like this week, we're supposed to be fighting. In fact, I'm supposed to be going to the studio in the next week and a half to start shooting to have two episodes in. So I'm not sure yet, but I definitely want it to be more of a lifestyle than just cooking. I want people to learn how to set the table and not to be afraid, you know, they have to bless your food. If you hate cooking, then don't cook. You know, I'm a firm believer if you really, really hate cooking, it goes into your food. So either get someone to do it for you or bring in takeout. But if you're going to be begrudging the whole time you're cooking, I don't want to be eating it.
That's true. Yeah, you got to have a little feeling for the fun of it, the enjoyment of it, because that'll be...
You can make it easy. When they look at my recipes, you know, if they want my recipes and they go online and they, you know, they send me an email, and I'll send everything back to them. They'll see the recipes are really, really easy. Like my death by cholesterol mashed potatoes. Of course, it is. It's not for the slim. You know, it's not for the faint at heart.
The faint at heart.
Right. I have cream cheese, sour cream, butter, half and half in it. But they're amazing. And then if you have leftovers, you can make shepherd's pie. I mean, there's tons of things you can do with it. And I gave him a recipe for champagne mustard, which is a great mustard for cheeses and also for if you're going to do a holiday ham or something along that line. And the champagne mustard, I gave a couple of the recipes to show that you can make it into a salad dressing and use it for either a salad dressing or also a spread to put on chicken or fish and bake or grill that. So I always look at when I do things, you know, is there something else that can be done with it to try to help you along to make it easier for you? It's all about having a good time in the kitchen, making it not crazy for yourself, and creating a timeline, like I said earlier. No matter what you're doing, any type of dinner party, if you create a timeline for yourself, put it up on the refrigerator so that, because most of the time, if you do all your own entertaining, by the time you're ready to sit down and be with people, they're done with their meal and they want to go home because they're full. So you kind of have to gear yourself. How do you make it simpler? Do you do a salad down to begin with so that you don't have to be doing everything if it's a sit-down dinner? I really look at all the psychology of all of that, of how it all plays out. If you're doing a sit-down dinner, do you want everybody to sit the same person all night, or do you mix it up? And if it's, let's say you have 30 or 40 people, each course the people get up and move, and then at the last course when you have dessert, you have it with your spouse. So you're not sitting with your spouse all evening, so you can actually talk about what you want to, not getting kicked under the table because you're talking about something they don't want you to talk about. So you can have a good time.
That always happens. And we have another caller who has joined our program, and we'd love to hear from them. So
great.
See who's more tips for Randy.
And I've known Randy for...
Oh, hello there.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank
what is your
you,
name?
Thank you. Michael Gerber.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Do you have a question for Randy?
Actually. Because you were talking about, Randy said, if you don't like cooking, don't cook. And so I'm wondering, Randy, is there a way for people to, and I've got to turn off my computer. But is there a way for people to, who don't like to cook, to use fast food to entertain? to actually take fast food and put it on a table in a nice way?
Well, for the holidays, absolutely. What you can do is you can have your turkey or goose roasted at like Gelson's or some any of your higher-end markets that will be roasting turkeys or that, and you get a ham, or you can even get roast. Some people do prime ribs and do something like that, where all that can be done. If you have Trader Joe's, there's so many vegetables you can get that are already done that are easy to do. So, yes, you can go from store to store to create something where you don't have to be doing it yourself. You just have to – one of the things I would say is that when you plan your menu, you'll plan what stores you're going to go to get everything. But on the other side of it, make sure you label every serving dish and serving piece so you know that when you're picking something up, you've got the right thing to serve it out of. So you're not going crazy when you come back home.
A few years ago, I just remembered a few years ago, because we had short notice, we had Bristol Farms prepare our Thanksgiving, and it was spectacular. They did a really, not as good as you, but they did a really good job.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're on time, it's not so budget easy. If you're doing it that way, your budget's going to probably double or triple. But if it's a time consideration or you're really afraid to cook, those are the simple ways to do things. And then also trying to get somebody in to help you. I think that's really, really important not to get overwhelmed. Try to either enroll your family members to help you or get somebody that's going to school or something along that line that wants to come in and help you so you're not going crazy.
And I would also suggest just what we were talking about earlier, Randy, is about being available, if you're going to cook your meal, to be available for your guests, because you want to be able to enjoy the event, and you've worked so hard preparing the meal, the table, et cetera, so you want to have time to sit down with your guests and have some fun. So to have somebody help you clean up and put the food away would probably be a plus.
Well, my friends know that if I cook dinner, they clean up, so I get to actually sit down with people. So I'm an extremely messy cook.
Well, on the flip side of that, I have been to a number of Randy's events, Randy's own events, events where I've hired him and gone to just see events that he's put on, and he does make the host comfortable. He makes sure that the host is a guest at the event and not working in the kitchen, and that's really part of the gift of knowing or hiring somebody like Randy.
Well, thank
you. The kudos keep coming in. Michael,
kudos to you.
Kudos.
You want me to hear the bad stuff? You want to hear the bad stuff? I've known them long enough. But it has nothing to do with business, so I won't go into it.
So, Michael, are you going to attempt to cook?
Me? No. I have a disability and cannot cook. And Thanksgiving, we're just starting to think about it because we've been crazed. And hopefully we'll get some help from Randy this year as we have in years past.
Well, that's lovely.
I should get a commitment from him now while he's on the air.
Oh, right, live on the air.
Okay, great.
All right,
I'll be happy to work with the Gerbers.
Very good.
Excellent.
Thank you.
We've got one. I love it. Well, thank you, Michael, for tuning in and chatting with us today.
My pleasure, absolutely.
Happy holidays to you.
Thank you, and to you too.
Thank you.
All right, bye, Al.
Bye-bye.
So our relationship has been a very long one. He actually, when I was doing food at the Comedy Store, I taught him how to cook the food at the Comedy Store. And over the 30-year relationship we had as friends, I've done a lot of events for their family. So it's turned to friendship and also business, so it's been great.
That's what, you know what? The Comedy Store needs you again.
Well, the Comedy Store doesn't have food anymore. They only serve drinks. They ripped out the kitchen of the Comedy Store.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. There hasn't been a kitchen in the Comedy Store for years. I actually worked in the Comedy Store that was on Westwood Boulevard. That's how long ago, when Robin Williams and Raymond Lamb, all those people were just starting out. So I've been doing this for a while.
Was the Comedy Store on Westwood Boulevard? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I know. That's how long I've been doing this. So, but thank God I love what I'm passionate and I love what I do. And if people have questions,
but don't you think that's the key to success? Part of success is you have to love it. If you're going to spend a considerable amount of time pursuing something, you better enjoy it.
I'm a firm believer in that because if you hate what you're doing, you have to be quiet or do something different. You know, that's my belief. But I've been so blessed I get to live out my fantasies every day because I get to create and shop and take care of people, because that's what I mean, that's what I really get to do. It's really a nurturing, my business is a very big nurturing process. And
I love
doing it.
Would you also, because I've done this a couple of times, it's a lot of fun, where, let's say, you come to someone's home, a private home,
mm-hmm.
and the client has six people, and you go shopping with them, and they kind of help you prepare
totally.
The meal. Like, yeah, I think that is so much fun.
I've done it a few times, where I taught them how to make great calamari, and, I mean, we pick the menu ahead of time, and, yes, I would do that with people. I can either do the shopping, because, you know, them going shopping doesn't, it's kind of a waste of their time. What I would do is do all the shopping for them, and then come in, and we'd all prep together, and then show them how to cook it, and then that way they, and then eat it for lunch or dinner. I love doing those things. I used to do that all the time.
Yeah, that is so much fun, because then somebody like yourself who is knowledgeable in food about, I mean, there's, like if you're making something with mushrooms, there's such a large variety of mushrooms. One has more water than the other, or how to slice it or cut it. You never know. So it's always kind of fun to have some friends and get together on that idea. So that's a great idea. Talking
about mushrooms, one quick tip. People don't realize, if you saute the brown mushrooms and you saute them until they get golden brown in butter and they get crisp, they taste totally different. They taste like a nut. And they're amazing. That's how I make my stuffing, which you'll have a recipe for that also, that you saute them so they're golden brown. Then I flame them with a little bit of Madeira or sherry, let it all cook out, and then let it simmer, and then let it get browner again. And the mushrooms are outrageous. You can eat them just on their own.
I'm coming to your place. The food sounds so good, something a little different. I don't have to do it. I can come to somebody else's house.
You're more than welcome. Wherever I end up landing, you can be a guest. I'll make sure that you're part of I say I have to invite, so it's not a problem.
Well, we've been having so much fun here talking about parties and being able to talk to some of our listeners today. It's been just great. And before we go, I want to once again give out your contact information. So your website is randyfurmanevents.com. That's Furman, F-U-H-R-M-A-N, randyfurmanevents.com. People can also find you at facebook.com/RFEvents, and you can be Twittered at twitter.com/@RandyFurman, or, you know, the old-fashioned way, by calling.
You can call
310-854-0155. And, Randy, it's been so much fun, and I hope to have you back on when you're on your network, and we can talk about how your show is going.
Great. I would love that. Thank you for being so kind and generous with me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And please, for all listeners, please feel free to call Randy for any holiday needs or for the recipes that he so graciously is offering to send you just by emailing him, and he'll be more than happy to send you any recipe you want. And don't forget those brownies. Those are a wonderful, wonderful holiday gift for friends and family. So, Randy, thank you again so much for joining
pleasure.
Us.
My pleasure. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Same to you.
Okay.
Please join me next time for another wild and crazy journey in someone else's shoes, when my guest will be jazz sensation Donna Dewson. And I also wanted to give you a little tip on the latest blog that's out there. It's for all you media junkies. It's a Media Junkie's Musings on the Events of the Day, and you can go to lauraohare22.blogspot.com. That's Laura, LauraOhare22, the number 22, .blogspot.com, to get your media fill. So once again, this is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you so much for joining me and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We'll see you next time, and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes. And we're going to leave you once again with Keith Chagall and She's Incredible.